Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Hello again, friends. Coming to you live from Vachon Island, Washington, this is the Voice of Vachon Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show radiating from the Beehive, a bombastic bluster known formerly as the Gene Bosch Broadcast Studio, in the bustling and bodacious beating breast of our bewitching and bountiful beachside borough. That was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown. Together, we the Briefly strive to keep Brian's brilliant flame alive by bringing you weekly episodes of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy and always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Our Briefly panel today includes everyone. Excuse me. Vachon Airport Commissioner, fellow treetop flyer, partially rehabilitated West Texan, longest serving Briefly, retired Alaska Airline Captain Truman O'Brien.
I'm sitting here behind the big blue switch today.
That's right.
Yeah, cool.
Wonderful. Thank you. Historian, professor, world traveler, boat captain, family patriarch, and now even more in demand than ever, our guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Hallman.
This guardian of the galaxy stuff is getting to be hard work.
Hard work. Hard work.
Really? I know. And part-time Politico ferry service advocate, executive director of Vachon Household, Vachon Fire Department Commissioner and full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Dreher.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Amy. Mariner, backpacker, rower, one of the founders of Indivisible Vachon, and how many more months is this administration going to be around, inquirer, Kevin Jones.
Great to join you over the Zoom structure network.
You're coming in loud and clear. Where are you right now, Kevin?
We're floating in Anacortes.
Oh, boy, you lucky son of a gun.
Yeah.
Wow.
And myself, Craig Bellis, former Gonzaga University constitutional law professor. I think that would now be referred to as the history of constitutional law professor.
Oh. Yeah.
Guardian of Pan Am's first 747 and San Francisco repo man. Today, our small talk guest is one of the co-stewards of our annual Strawberry Festival. Lynn-Ann Polite, how are you, Lynn-Ann?
Doing really, really well. And I just, do you change these descriptions of each other each time? Or are these,
because they were. We do change them up quite a little
bit. Yeah, because some of them are chuckling like they've just heard it for the first time.
we rephrase them, let's put it that way.
Okay, yes,
match.
They're all factual, but they're.
We actually compete with click and clack.
Yeah.
That's right. The Chaffin brothers.
To see how we can make these creative each week.
Well, we have flashcards for everybody, and we just sort of shuffle them up and then pick out three or whatever.
But I do like your intro. The bees were really bodacious today.
Yeah, that's a tongue twister. You did good. Yeah.
Well, I did fair. All right. Before we focus on our summer Strawberry Fest Fun Fest, let's first start by checking in with the Brieflys and our guests to determine what memorable, if any, activities they engaged in over the past week. Kevin, while we still have you with a good connection, what have you been up to that isn't quite obvious?
Well, the unobvious parts of a summer cruise is as I was walking down the docks today back to the boat, there's a seal floating off in one of the slips. And it's very casual, you know, it sort of looked up, said hi, and then, you know, went to find more fish. But yeah, we're floating around, enjoying anywhere from, you know, the cool June-ish. '80s and '90s. But otherwise, it's been good so far, and we're on our way further north.
We almost lost you there.
You know, when I was flying in Alaska back before I worked for the airline, my wife said, go further north, send more money. So that's kind of my motto for you, Kevin.
Does it work that way?
Yeah, no.
We'll do our best, Truman.
Thanks.
Amy, how about you?
I had the opportunity this weekend to go down to California. I graduated from one of the Claremonts, and they do the college does a like alumni reunion kind of thing, but it's not reunion. It's a camp with all years. So, you know, anyone can come, anyone who graduated can come, and you stay in the dorms and we do basket weaving and go to the pool and, you know, hang out and chat and just kind of have a nice retreat. Mm-hmm. Even though, I mean, the dorms are nice enough to call it a retreat, I think, even though they're not spectacular. And as you get older, you know, a college dorm bed becomes less and less
comfy, huh?
Exciting, yeah. To hang out with. But it's great because, you know, I think some of my best friends down there are class of 69, class of 85, you know, class of, wow. You know, 92, some great gals from 92. So, you know, it's really great because you have an opportunity to meet folks from, you know, all different parts of life and kind of sharing their perspectives mm-hmm. and what they're doing. And, you know, we have great conversations just, and I've been going now for over 20 years.
Wow.
And the camp itself, I think, has been going for like 35 years. And, you know, so it's like a family reunion mm-hmm. every year. Usually, like, you get folks in and out, but it's kind of like that same core of about 75 people.
I was just going to ask, do you see the same people each year?
Yeah. You definitely have, you know, kind of the people who, right. you know,
kind of like, core group.
Yeah, new yeah. and in and out. But then, you know, you've got these folks who you just, you know, you're going to see them. You just, everybody says, see you next year. So that was great. And I went to a great, one of the gals who's a camper, one of the alumni is a former professor as well. And she teaches Shakespeare and she's a literary professor. So she usually does, you know, we call them workshops. So there's, you know, workshops on meditation and workshops on basket weaving and lavender wreath making and, you know, kind of anything and everything. But she does literary stuff and she usually does like a Shakespeare play, like a reading. And then she'll do, you know, she'll do a close reading and then she gives you her like, hey, I'm a Shakespearean, you know, expert. And so she did Hamnet, actually.
Oh, cool.
And she did the book and the movie. And I didn't go to the movie, but she kind of did this entire, you know, walked us through the entire book and said, hey, you might have missed this, but like, this is why this part is so cool. And this is why O'Farrell, you know, is such an expert because she wrote this part in. Mm. And so that was great. And then I spent the rest of the afternoon at the pool and then all meals are provided. So then you just, you know, saunter away and somebody's like, hey, here's some tacos. Go to town.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I want to go.
Yeah. You're jealous. You're jealous. It's amazing. It's cool. Inspirational and fantastic. So that was fun.
Now, when you see the movie, you're going to really appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to stick with the book was better.
It's like,
we should start a Briefly camp every summer.
There you go. Do you have a competition-sized saltwater pool for lounging?
I don't think so. Puget Sound.
And the weather of California.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, you know, the eucalyptus and the birds and the pool and the palm trees and the, it's something. Yeah.
When do you mind me asking when you graduated?
Class of 99 from Scripps
College. Oh, 99. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw somebody at one of my alma maters graduated in 05, and I thought, man, they must be old.
yeah.
I thought, wait a minute, there are people graduating in this century.
That's right. Yeah, we had someone from the class of 23.
Wow.
Yeah, she is an influencer. She was like, she actually had a photographer there with her.
Wow.
Like taking pictures.
So, oh my gosh.
Doing influencing
Holy cow.
Things. That was, you know, as campers, we try to evolve. We try to not say, well, this isn't how you do camp.
Do you all have to sign non-disclosure?
There is a social media agreement that any pictures you take can only be shared on the closed page.
Good. Absolutely.
So she's influencing your clothes page.
Yeah, kind of, right? Yeah.
Truman, how about you?
Well, first I have to say that I'm going to my reunion from my Army unit in a couple of weeks down in Colorado Springs. We're going to actually have it this year. I don't know why they picked there.
That'll be hot.
Yeah, it should be really nice, though. I mean, yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, you could say hi to the Air Force folks.
Yeah, it's kind of what I thought. You know, it's right there. No, so for me, I've had a really exciting week. So you folks know that I'm a commissioner with the airport here on Vashon, the King County Airport District Number 1, which owns and operates the Vashon Municipal. We have one of the things that we provide to the community at no cost, of course, is our emergency helipad, which is on the south end of the airport. It has its own entrance for the aid cars to come in. That's the good news. The bad news is that it's grass, and the driveway is grass. And in the wintertime in particular, when the aid car comes in, there's no way that you can roll a gurney across that grass because oftentimes the helipad itself is awash in you know, water. And so we have for quite some time wanted to finally upgrade the helipad, and we have finally decided to do that. We hired a company out of that does all of the helipads for Airlift Northwest, and they have made a phenomenal design for a helipad. And yesterday we had a big photo op where we announced what we're going to be doing. And I'm going to let that go and wait and let you folks read about it in the Beachcomber since Aspen was there covering it. But I will tell you just a couple of things. The helipad's going to be concrete. That's the other thing, that when you come to the helipad at night, it's not lit. I mean, there are lights surrounding it, but the helipad itself is not lit. They have to park emergency vehicles with their headlights shining in order to see what they're doing. So this new helipad will be concrete. It will have built-in floodlights that are activated by the pilots as they fly in. They have a way to do that with their radios. They'll turn those lights on, and then the driveway itself is going to be asphalt, so that they can drive in and wheel the patients right into the helicopter. So anyway, it's going to be a huge, huge improvement and a benefit to the community. So, and we had that event yesterday. That was really fun. And I will tell you that after that, our design crew flew in their airplane to make a few more measurements and to do a little survey work. And when they did, we learned that we can upgrade some of our equipment that they had originally planned for, so that we're going to have a little weather station there that will be available to any pilot by using their radio. They can click into it and get wind speed, direction, and visibility, cloud height, all of that stuff. It's really pretty exciting.
Yeah, so nice.
We're really pleased.
What's the completion, estimated completion date?
Well, unfortunately, we're going to be pushed back a couple of weeks because of these changes that we wanted to make. But we're trying to be finished by the end of September.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
that's before the winter.
Oh, yeah. Before the rains come. That's our goal. I mean, if we get the helipad done, the pad itself and the driveway, then if we get that done before the rains, then we can add the other stuff that we need to do. Yeah. But it's going to take a lot of electrical work, so that's part of the issue.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I hope nobody has to use it. But if they do.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there is a second helipad on the island that's up behind the clinic up on Sunrise Ridge. This one is going to be much better because we'll have the weather station, we'll have the lights that light up. Anyway, it'll be, and the approach that we have into it is much better than up at Sunrise. But if we need it for the summer.
I got rolled across that grass into the helicopter.
It was
a bumpy little ride. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And one of the things they're talking about is coming up with an instrument approach into our airport so that in inclement weather, they can actually still get the helicopter in. So that's a huge, huge benefit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's
pretty
fabulous.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Good work, Truman.
Thanks.
Bruce, you got anything as exciting as that?
not as exciting as that, but getting the crab boat ready to launch. We're going to launch it tomorrow. Crab season starts on Sunday. Every week until August 17th, on Sunday and Monday, you can catch Dungeness crab and red crab around Vashon. So, so we're getting the crabinator all set up for that.
The crabinator.
Oh, the crabinator.
And been raiding Thriftway and IGA for salmon trimmings and heads and all that good stuff for the crab traps. And just found out yesterday that we've got Kevin Slip. Kevin's gone for a month, and yeah. so we're going to be able to put the crab boat in this Kevin Ooh. Slip.
Oh, excellent. Which is
right next to Vashona, so yeah. it'll be convenient,
for, yeah.
To say the least. So that's been good. And then yesterday was my birthday.
Oh, yeah, so,
that's right. Happy yes. birthday.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, yeah. so
hit 50 this, finally.
Yeah.
yeah. almost twice, but yeah. getting close, right? So, but this weekend, my daughter-in-law Shelby's birthday is on the 25th. So this weekend was kind of a family gathering for it. And my 8-year-old granddaughter made this birthday cake for me that was like 6 layers tall. Oh. You know, and the top was a beach scene with me on the beach.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
Umbrellas and you know, all this sort of stuff.
Very creative.
It was very cool. Yeah. Surrounded by strawberries for the festival on the bottom. Sweet. I mean, all this kind of good stuff. And then last night, there was a gathering for Governor Ferguson at Dave Horn's in Ellisport, just a neighbor right around the corner. And Amy was there.
Indeed.
And I sort of got to talk to the governor a bit. And I was very impressed with Governor Ferguson. I mean, he explains things very well.
Yeah.
But Dave Horn, when he was introducing the governor, said that it was my birthday, and he asked the governor to lead everybody in singing happy birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
So I got serenaded by the governor and Amy and a whole bunch of other people. So it was good. So it was a good birthday.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you think to ask the governor for a birthday present? Of appearing on the Brown Briefing?
I did not actually get the chance to twist his arm as much as I would have liked. But there were some good questions. And he was particularly, and Amy, maybe you can jump in with this, he was particularly good at explaining how he and his administration and the state of Washington are responding to all the sort of things that the Trump administration is doing. And he ran through, 5 or 6 sort of major efforts that they're making on the legal front, you know, on the political front, legislative front, and just in terms of being a governor, having a bully pulpit to sort of just, yeah. you know, sort of resist what he sees as overreach by the federal government.
Wow. So. Great. Wonderful. Lynn Ann.
Yeah.
We can guess what you probably were doing this last week, but
at VCA we have the Summer Arts Fest, and so that's installing that. We took down a show and put up a show that has 10 Vashon artists and 3 more in the gift shop, and they're all there. That'll be for the first Friday, which is coming up. Yes, I have been wrangling 100 vendors and 13 bands and all the things for Strawberry Festival. I'm going to go back another week, though, as I was stewarding the installation of a very small sculpture. That would be a 3,000-pound, 40-foot whale sculpture that is currently kinetic. It's moves. That's currently hanging
gorgeous.
In the atrium. Yeah, and so we celebrated VCA's 60th birthday. When it's been 60 years.
How long is the whale going to be there?
Yeah, until we take it down, it's at least 5 years.
Oh, really?
We'll do an assessment after 5 years, yeah.
Oh, wow.
After hoisting that thing up, but we just did for 10 days. I did nonstop.
Yeah. How do you dust it?
Yeah, you know, that's the ongoing question. We're going to put Jesse in a big, huge, you know, bucket and stick him up 40 feet and have him, you know, with a big fluffer. That's the ongoing question. That and also, you know, when is it coming down? And after us getting it up, we're like, don't talk to us about coming down yet.
You know, I know Rob Wheeler, the guy that designed the tail movement, and he had that in his hangar.
Yes.
So I got to go down and watch just the tail.
Yes.
And fabulous.
Yeah.
It is so real.
Right. It was the Vashon Nature Center. Spent 2 years, you know, working on those bones, handed over to Ela. Ela had pretty much worked 9 months. And then the reason it's moving is because of Rob Wheeler and that amazing I call it a pulley system that's like a puppet that makes the tail go up and down. Yeah. And of course, they're looking at it going, we'd like it to roll too. And I was like, yeah, well, we'll just stay here. You know, you figure 3,000 pounds suspended from the ceiling. I mean, okay, engineering, we got it, but it starts rolling and do. And I was the wave
How
is
about
pretty
breaching?
Big. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, it's a bottom feeder, so it's sort of going down. And he put it, yeah, it's a pretty amazing if you haven't seen it. And now we're, because of it, people are sticking their nose, you know, on the windows looking in. We're open now every day from 12 to 5. Ah. We're opening, we expanded our hours. And then I'll talk more about the rest of it when we talk about Strawberry Festival.
Okay, yeah. Great. That's quite a week, to say the least.
Yeah.
my week? Not much. Nothing to compare. Yesterday and the day before, I spent several hours taking apart my son, who's in his mid-40, his Lego town.
Oh my.
That has been in the sort of upstairs portion of his bedroom for ages. And there it sat. It spans.
Talk about dusting.
It's big. Yeah. It's big. It's probably, you know, 30 feet by 10 Whoa. Feet in Whoa. Size. And Whoa. Yeah. And I looked in the, on the internet to see what you do with old Legos.
Yeah.
And there's a Lego has a Lego re. Well, they have what's it called? Lego Replay, where you send it, you box it up in pieces. They don't want anything that's put together. They want it taken totally apart, which has been a little rough on my fingernails.
Yeah.
But boxed up and sent off, and then they distribute it to kids all over the United States, so that they have. I have Legos to experiment with. So that's what I was doing. It was bittersweet, actually.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move along. Today is June 30th, a special day, which, of course, every day is a special day. This is International Asteroid Day, which is based upon the Tunguska event of 1908. The asteroid, or they say may have even been a comet, that came into our atmosphere and made the biggest explosion of that nature, you know, that we know of, above the eastern portion of Russia, Siberia.
And just to be clear, isn't it Tunguska with a K instead of a T?
I thought it was with a T. I'm very capable of misspelling.
I'll look it up. But I do think it's Tunguska.
I might be.
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
What's the difference between, I know there's a difference, asteroid, meteor, and meteorite.
And comet, he said too.
Yeah. And comet.
Yeah, but right, asteroid, because meteor is flying around and meteorite is when it hits the atmosphere.
Well, meteorite is usually a smaller one too.
Smaller. So asteroid is like the largest of the...
Right. Of asteroids, right.
Yes, okay.
Right.
Yeah. And so then, it gets a little smaller and you're like, oh, you're just a little meteor.
Yeah, that's right.
Meteorite.
A bit of a meteor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay.
And meteors are usually coming from outside the solar system and passing through, you know, like the Halley's Comet, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, asteroids are in a belt, and they break free, and then when they enter the atmosphere, they become meteors.
There it is.
You got comets that are extraterrestrial, you know, sort of galaxy. I mean...
Supernatural.
Intergalactic.
Right, yeah. Outside our solar system coming through.
Our solar system.
That's
okay.
Comets,
okay.
Yeah.
And the composition's different. Asteroids are typically rocks, large rocks, whereas comets are ice balls and, you know, gases. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow, the things you learn on
we got to try to keep it interesting.
Well, where's Neil Dyson, whatever his name is? You know, we need him.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, anything to add?
Yeah. Nope.
Pretty much covered the territory.
Yeah. Right. That intergalactic stuff, yeah.
That's right. In 1864, on this date, there was the Yosemite Grant Act signed by the president with a very tall hat, President Lincoln, giving 200,000 acres to California and establishing America's first state-controlled park. How many here have not been to Yosemite?
I haven't. Never been flown over it a bazillion times.
Oh, man.
It's beautiful.
What a gorgeous, gorgeous place.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, it is Tunguska.
Oh, with a G at the end.
No, with a K. With a K.
Oh, I mean, the K at the end. Okay, all right. I stand correct.
That's okay. So
back to Yosemite. The first time I ever saw a bobcat in the wild was in Yosemite.
Ah.
Nice. Yes. It's not it's not like your normal house cat. It was very scruffy.
Yeah, I bet.
I was up at Glacier Point one time in the summer and came out of the restroom that was up there, and there was a mother and three cubs standing right outside the restroom. So I did an about face.
You went back into the restroom?
Held my nose and went back to the restroom.
I'll depart later.
That's right. I'll wait a few minutes here. In 1941, the Ukrainians declared their national independence.
Wow. 41.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Wow.
All right, let's move on to our small talk guest. Our small talk guest today is Lynn-Ann Polite, who we've heard from, and the activities you engaged in your other day job.
Exactly.
At VCA. And you are going to be accompanied today by an individual who you work with in preparation for the festival, Samantha Birdman.
That's right. Samantha Birdman of the Creamery. She's handling a big chunk of it as well, yeah.
She had a scheduling issue, I guess.
She's actually on the beach in the coast. You know, what can we say?
That's a that's a nice scheduling issue.
She's camping on vacation, yeah, so couldn't make it.
All right. Well, here, I'll tell you what. It is a pleasure having you. We've had you on the program on occasion for other purposes.
True. Last year for Strawberry Festival.
That's right. Last year for Strawberry Festival. Yeah. I think you've sat in on some of the opera interviews we had.
No, not the opera, but something. Summer Arts Fest, when it first got launched, I came on.
Were you here with Pam Ingalls when she was here?
No. She with her show?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I was with Oliver Art.
You were busy putting, with that.
Busy putting it up,
Well, you know, the Strawberry Festival is coming up here, like, starts on July 17th, I guess, isn't that right?
Correct.
Before we get into specifics on that, why don't you just remind people of who you are and what you do, not only for VCA, but what you
do for the festival?
Generally for the festival.
So the festival's through the chamber. So the chamber, I did it when I was on the board. I did it in 2021 and 2022, which was during COVID, which is not really the best fun time to produce a festival. And then I did it last year. They engaged me to come in. I'm not on the board. I'm project manager of it and leading the team, and I'm doing that again this year. So that's my formal title, is project manager of the Strawberry Festival, leading the whole production of it, correct. And we have Samantha Bergman, who's handling a chunk of the logistics and other kind of relationships with the uptown businesses and the infrastructure. And then Cheryl Lubert is doing the beverage garden, and we have some other volunteers leading some other teams. So it's kind of a small group, but mighty, small but mighty.
And what do you do at VCA?
I'm the gallery director there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which keeps you busy.
Yeah, I do that. I also produce the Albiani art history talks and also art gallery talks. So anything, and then I now am obviously the steward of Singer, the whale.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
That's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been on the island?
I moved here in 2000, so I've been here for 26 years. I've been at VCA about 8 or 9. Yeah.
Okay.
I raised my kid here. She's 28 now.
How does that happen?
You know, I know, and grandkids. How does that happen?
How does that happen? Really? Before we get into the specifics of this year's Strawberry Festival, I was going to ask Bruce, because you've done a fair amount of work on this, Bruce, about the kind of the history of the festival, how many festivals we've had, which I think is somewhat in dispute, maybe. what the names of the festivals?
Sure.
Give us a little background there.
Yeah, I mean, it's Vashon has a long history of festivals. I mean, the very first one was in 1900, and it was just a festival. It didn't have a specific name, but in 1909, the first Strawberry Festival was held. for 1 year, and then they didn't for a couple of years. And then 1912, they held another strawberry festival. And then it was suspended during World War I. They started it back up in the 20s. In the 30s, late 20s, early 30s, they started a Miss Vashon contest as part of it. And that's been everything from a beauty contest to schools voting, you know, putting up candidates. It's been a real interesting kind of thing. And then during the Depression, there were several years when in the 30s when there wasn't a festival. It was suspended during World War II, and then in 1947-48, it was actually called the Peach Festival. But then the peach blight came along, and so they changed it to Island Festival. And so it was Island Festival for most of the 1950s into the 1970s. And then in 1980, I believe it was, they had it. They almost didn't have a festival for 2 years because the JCs had been sponsoring it through the 50s and 60s, and they sort of all aged out, and then JCs went away, and so there was nobody to run it. And then it started up again, and Michael Mead was part of that as the as a Strawberries Forever, based on the Beatles song kind of thing. Oh, yeah. And that was that for a couple of years, and then I think about 83 it was officially titled the Strawberry Festival. Mm. And it's been that ever since. And so it's gone through lots of iterations. The mayor contest, they started having a grand marshal in the 1950s. And we're working on getting a list of all the grand marshals together. The unofficial mayor contest started, I think, sometime in the 70s. And has been going on for a long time. So it's an interesting sort of gathering on the island. Mm-hmm. Lynn-Ann, you know a lot of that history, and I gave some of that to you and Truman when you were sort of announcing the parade.
Yeah,
there's lots of interesting
trying
stuff
to fill in as we're figuring out who's coming down down the street.
Yeah, you get to do that. The amazing thing about it being named Strawberry Festival, because it's not, I thought at some point it was celebrating the strawberries on the island.
It was.
And it's interesting they changed it from peach to no peaches because there was no more peaches. When I think around COVID, or maybe it was Amy when you were, no, it was before 2019, I think before that, there were, or 2020, 2021, there was actually a proposal to just call it the Vashon Festival.
Yeah, I remember when that was, boy, that was
exactly
fighting words.
You could almost said we're going to build a bridge. I mean, exactly. Exactly. It was fighting words. There was no way. And I was like, okay, fine. We're not. I don't think I was involved with that. I just heard it peripherally, but I was like, ooh, there's some things on this island you don't say.
and when it started in the 1900s and 1910, I mean, Vashon was known as the Isle of the Big Red Strawberry.
Yeah.
And Jeff Hoyt's done some funny kinds of stuff with his programs about it. But strawberries were huge on Vashon Island into the 1930s. And then, like everything else, it's agricultural in the Northwest is sort of outcompeted by California. So,
I think it's great.
Blackberries, right?
Yeah, blackberries.
Yeah. That's right, blackberry. Yeah.
They almost took over. Yeah. That's right.
Could easily be called the black. No, never mind.
Yeah.
We're not going to celebrate that beast. That's for sure.
Because of all the blackberry farms we have on the island. All the new people on the island who went, how do you start a blackberry farm?
Just leave it alone.
Just wait. I find it just fascinating the role of Michael Mead. Played in the Strawberry Festival, our anthropologist, the historian, the philosopher,
and obviously hippie lover.
He has quite a personal history himself. Yeah. You were going to ask, I think, Lynn-Ann a question or two there, Bruce.
Lynn-Ann.
Yes.
Just maybe give us an overview. I mean, what's happening with the festival? It starts on the 17th. And just sort of talk us through all the structure, how it's going to be laid out, what's going to be happening.
Sure. So we'll close the streets, which, that in itself is so celebrated. People love walking the streets. But we'll close it from Ober Park all the way down to the movie theater. And I love it that I kind of now know the streets, but I don't need to say the streets. We just do landmarks, right? Mm-hmm. I won't say Sound Food at this point because I know that cemetery, but you know. So that's going to be all closed off. We're going to, you know, in 2021 and 2022, when before COVID, you know, the festival had ballooned to this multiple stage, but we came up with this You Do You, and we really encouraged everybody. There was two major things that have continued to this day that we instigated in 2021, and that was, number one, not to block businesses, to let that was something that the booths were doing, so they could pop out and they could create their own booth, and we didn't charge them. The second thing we did was really encourage, like, focus on what we can do, and also that's a little more sustainable for in some way, and let other people do other sound stages. Hence, Hetty has like a weekend of music now, and then Snapdragon would have music, or they're having their various things. So everybody could do kind of their own thing. And then we came down and held on to some of the core stuff. So at the North End, and actually there was the Beverage Garden. That was another shift we did afterwards. The Beverage Garden was, you had to pay to get in, and it was a 21 and over. We made it, we divided it up and made it all ages, and also, and then the Beverage Garden was part of it. It was with under Amy's tutelage of that she moved it over to Ober Park. So then, because it's a natural bowl. So now we do the same thing. We did it again last year. Half of it's all ages and the burn, so everybody can enjoy. And then there's the Beverage Garden is there as well. And the Beverage Garden is important because the Strawberry Festival starts with no money, like none, like zero, none, nothing. And so, you know, through sponsorships, through the merch, through the merch sales, through the vendor booths, and through Beverage Garden is basically how we even make this thing happen.
It's sort of backloaded.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not, that's a whole nother conversation, how sustainable that is financially. So we'll do the Beverage Garden. We're going to do, again, the big fun stuff for the kids in the North End as far as the bungee and the water walking. I don't know if you guys saw that. Nothing like putting a stick and a kid in a balloon under this bouncy ball and had them walk on water. I was like, okay, and they did it. And then we also have all the bouncy houses. And then we're also overseeing all the vendors. And the vendors are basically going to be probably from bank. There might be some vendors down here, but both basically from bank all the way up to Ober Park. And last year when I would come down here, it was beautiful what was happening down here, because like Pop and Gravy and Colvos, and you know, there's all these people popping out, and you know, Swiftwater popped out with their art, you know, so there was all kinds of that's just what we were encouraging to do, and so everybody was popping out there. And then there still will be Vega will have its farmers market. So there's pretty much going to be everything going from, you know, there up north to Ober Park. There will be the parades. We can't not have the parades. We do the parade on Saturday. We'll go into more detail. I know you were going to ask me about that too. And then the car parade is done by Island Insurance. And so I'm getting word, like Burby Brun's still going to happen. You know, we're just hearing about what other people are popping in and doing. There's going to be the Legos. You know, we'll talk about the kids things. We have a whole kids list of things that are happening. So overall, it's really the core again. And we just hope, like last year, we have perfect weather, which is not too hot, not too cold, no rain. So, you know, all you do, you're weather dancing. Y'all are pilots. You know how to weather dance.
You never know after July 4th what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
You do know what's going to happen before July 4th, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
That's right.
Which is perfect weather for me. I love this.
Yeah. It's this would even be fine. Just not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just not too building hot.
Exactly.
And the main stage has some really great acts.
And if you want to find your way around, will there be an insert or something, the Beachcomber?
So we just met with the Beachcomber. They're going to do their four-page, you know, pull-out, and we'll have a big map in there. The Chamber does do a map in there of all the vendors and most of the happenings that are happening if people want to opt into that. We never say that we're the all-exclusive. You know, the Beachcomber guide itself will have all of the different things. We'll have that online. We'll have a page, like I said, that is going to be family-friendly and fit kids, because people like to know where the kids are, what they can do with their kids. We'll have it'll also have the schedule at the main stage. I have 13 bands over 3 days, which is really great, a great mixture of music, which we can talk about too.
Yeah, we will.
We
definitely will.
I know.
Amy.
Yeah, so starts on Friday, right? Yes. About 3 o'clock.
Well, so the interesting thing is the load-in is on Friday. So Friday we close the streets at 3. We're going to actually have the vendors start at 4. We need that little breathing area to get the streets closed. People don't always move the cars. You know, we're open for friendliness. We're open for kindness. Everybody move it out. So they'll be setting up. But some of the vendors, especially some of the food vendors, will get their stuff up really fast. The main thing is the main stage with its acts. And those acts start at 4. Mm-hmm. And what's really great about is we're starting with the Reptile Man. And that is, the kids love the Reptile Man. An alligator is guaranteed to pee on either him or one of the kids. They always pee. I don't know. He brings out that massive snake that takes 5 kids to hold it. And it's just really fun. So that's right at 4. And then after that, we have a series. And it's kind of, I call it the Vashon Night because it's all Vashon bands. We've got Cheap Scenery for you, like the 90s punk. That's a local band here. And then J.D. Hobson, if you know who he mm-hmm. is, usually we see him solo. We're going to have his whole band, which is really special. He's, you know, he's this blues and Americana, and he rocks it. I've watched him rock. People are rocking out of dancing with him, just in him and his guitar. And this with his band, I can't imagine. Oh, wow. It's going to be great. And then ending the evening with our hometown boy of Jacob Bain and his Published a Quest. He's going to do the night. He's, you know, not having him would be kind of like, you know, not having. So he's great. He does his, you know, his beat, his kind of African, Afro world beat sort of thing with his amazing horn section. So that's the first Friday. So it's the Friday night. So it's really a nice dance night.
So that's all at Oberpark?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before I forget, is there going to be a band at the four-way?
So Portageville, you can't forget them. They'll be there. There's not a bandstand there, but the Portageville will do their 6 o'clock Saturday performance.
Okay.
Their street dance there. Yeah.
Okay.
So we just do one stage right now. Yeah.
Gotcha.
We're just doing a stage. But I do want to say there's another stage, and this is on Pandora, and that's Friday night, and it's on Pandora's stage. And that was done last year. It was called the Teen Stage. It's now called the Youth Stage, and that was done by Vashon Youth and Family Services. Right. The Coop has come up, and they call it Coop on the Run, and they're going to be sponsoring it. This is their first thing to do. They called me up and they're like, we want to do a youth stage. And I'm like, Vashon Youth and Family Services would love your help. So they have a lineup then Pandora's for the youth, and that is a great location. It's great how it's open there, you know, for them to dance. And so there will be that second stage on Friday night. Yeah. And it's by the Coop.
Excellent.
So then Saturday parade, what can we look forward to? There's a note here about horses. True, false?
Oh, you know, the Pony Club said she's going to bring a couple horses.
Okay.
And I asked her, you know, last year I said, okay, are we picking up the poop? And she's like, oh, they're, you know, they got it down. So she said they're not going to be riding them. They're going to be taking them. So another guy called, have no idea. So the thing about the parade, which I know you guys love and hate at the same time, people do sign up so I can give you guys for you to MC. But we also welcome anybody. It's like you come, you show up, you're in. And we also don't line them up because logistically that's a nightmare. So it kind of is great for having so much participation. For you to MC it, I'm sure you're like, what's going on?
You know? We just pull our hair out.
I know. I was going to say, you just pull it out wherever you pull it out and do a fabulous job.
Well, I have to tell you that this year I am not going to be there.
Oh.
And Craig has had to, go get a real professional.
Well, somebody who might fill your shoes somewhat.
Mr. Jeff Hoyt.
Yeah, Jeff
is going to be. Jeff
and I are going to do it. We'll be scrambling. The first question he asked when I asked him if he would do it, he said, will we get any notice of who's in the parade?
So you will get notice of who's in the parade.
Not when, that's right.
But when and where?
You'll get notice. So the one thing I do want to say about the parade is that I have been assured that the shopping cart brigade will be back.
Yay.
Another thing, like, don't change the name of the festival, and also don't not have, you know,
shopping cart.
So, and Thriftway is a sponsor of the parade. So it's really great that they're going to be there. There's going to be horses there. Someone was like, we're going to do a float. I'm like, oh my God, now we're having floats. So we have all kinds of stuff. Last year I was standing there starting, and everybody comes up and goes, that's the greatest parade, Lynette. And I was like, I just put them through. Like, Vashon made me look good. I was like,
just organic.
You know, Backbone comes by, and everybody comes by with these, you know, walking snails, and not snails, but octopus and stuff. Sure. And then, you know, then there's these goddesses, you know, they come down, and it's just like, it's great. We are on that morning, just overnight, we're going to close the street all the way down to the Shell station, because the lineup, Amy can adjust this. So I get this call from Amy, and she's like, what's going on with the parade? And I'm like, I don't know. And what are you talking about?
That's what you don't want to hear. I don't know.
I was like, I don't know. What are you talking about? So we had had a turnaround, but the problem was the parade lined up into the highway. Well, and course. So then people couldn't even get up to turn around, and they were getting all up at 188th and not anyways. And I'm like, you know, I was like, you know, thanks for the info, and we can't do a thing about it right now. We're just waiting for it to come. And so we're going to close the street a lot further so that there's, and also hopefully have more stewards to like keep people kind of more. But, you know, it's the Wild Wild West, the parade is. It just is. And it's great. And it turns out beautiful. And I think the parade was so long that it actually, the people were ending by these people were just starting. Yeah. And the one story that was amazing was, you know, the Vashon Strong like pushes those people on their things and pulls that thing. They were near the end of the parade. So I'm like, they had already done, you know, I don't know, half a mile. And then they had to do the, I was like, they're Vashon Strong, all right. Yeah. So it was pretty pretty amazing. So that's the parade. Starts at 10, lineup is at 9.
Kevin, do you have a question?
Well, I've been in that parade. It is crazy. It's wonderful and spectacular. But Craig, I was going to suggest maybe you and Jeff plant a report.
I got you.
I know where you're going.
Yeah. And report in. I mean, you got the sound equipment now. Voice of Vashon has all that network.
So like Amy, you could be there and say who's coming up.
Yeah, like a little walkie-talkie.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy, I like that idea.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. Why didn't they think of that when I was there? Darn.
Systems engineer on the job.
That's right. That's right.
And you can do those little walkie-talkies. That'd be no problem.
Yeah. Ba-doop. No, that, and of course the children's parade. Yeah.
Yes, the children starts it. There is going to be a train that's going to start it. We're going to have the fire chief stuff start it. Yeah. And then it's the parade. So,
you know, I was going to ask a little follow up with regards to the kids zone and whatnot. I know there's been efforts year after year to get the carnival back. Mm-hmm. Amy, you've got a little bit of a hand in that still, don't you?
Yeah, the word got out, and then the word got out, and then the word got out. But we came real close this year. We came the closest we have this year to it. Several delays and permitting questions that we needed information. You need information in before you can put information out. So there's some possibilities for next year, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
People will always comment on that on social media. Where's the carnival?
Yeah. For sure. Found a good location for it. So there's some possibilities.
It's not for lack of trying.
No, it is not.
Oh, that is so true. Yeah. It's a logistical thing, and there's a reason it hasn't been, and Amy's been definitely stewarding that going forward. And it just time really it has to have an on-ramp time. Yeah. And you know, it just, if you have too many delays, like Amy said, I think she got stuck in those.
Oh, I did want to clarify one thing. The children line up at the beginning of the parade or how does that?
Yeah. So they're close. Yeah. They're going to line up right at Vashon at the Chevron station. So there's the train, there's the fire, then the train, then there's the Grand Marshals and, I didn't bring the names of them, so don't ask me. but I'm going to just dovetail that this is an important thing too. Is between our logo of the Strawberry Festival and also our Grand Marshals, it's to join the celebration of the 100-year anniversary of Mukai. So we have some Grand Marshals that from Mukai, and then our merchandise is going to have a commemorative, and it's designed by Tyrell Stundell. So
put
that in.
And then with regards to the kids, if they want to get in the parade,
they just show up. Sorry, you don't get them for
the time.
So the lineup is 9, and then we start the parade off at 10, and we did it last year. I got that parade off at 10. You know who held it up? Was a truck wouldn't start. I was like, getting the fire guys going. I was like, go. So the firemen.
That's disconcerting.
I know. Exactly. They're supposed to be fast.
We have a new engine. Just a commercial right there for funding our fire department. We have a beautiful new engine.
Yeah. Great. They actually started and ended. there in both ends of it, the fire department. So
Truman.
Well, I have to say that as far as the emceeing the parade, you know, that often, like in baseball games, you have the person who calls the game, and then you have the color commentator, right? Well, with the parade MC, you have two color commentators because nobody knows what's happening next. So you don't have anybody to call the parade.
Yeah, you have one sort of saying what's going on, and then the next one's eyeing what's going down,
exactly,
coming up the pipe.
Exactly. So, anyway,
clowns to the left of me, jokers on
the
right.
To the right, yeah. Here, stuck in the middle with you. Yeah. I'm going to be here for a little bit on Saturday, but I'm leaving early Sunday morning. So Sunday, what is the music schedule? And my big question is Loose Change going to close the festival?
Of course, of course, of course.
Yay.
Loose Change does it do that. But, you know, you skip Saturday. So if I could, I'm going to run through everything a little faster because I know we're running out of time. The thing that's great about Saturday is the mixture, again, of Vashon and Off-Islanders. So there is, y'all know Bruce Ferris, and he's got a group of locals, but also a Grammy Award percussionist, Gordy Ryan, and they do this whole Oluntunji African Jazz Ensemble. That's going to start you off. So when you go to the parade, that's where you go right away.
Wow.
The Memphis Kings is a band that's been around. It's an indie rock for 25 years, but within the last few years, our own local Tony Mann is part of it. So we got a little blend again of Vashon. Then we have Stevie and the Blue Flames, and Stevie's, just looking at the picture, he's probably in his 70s. Rips through in harmonica. Amazing.
Wow.
And in fact, that band was named in 2026 the best band by the Washington Blues Society.
Wow.
Then we're really excited about Reposado. I wanted some funk, and I got online in this called Tequila Funk. And this is a guy that does Latin and dance and funk and does it, you know, in Spanish and in English. And, you know, you're going to be dancing for sure. And then Hell's Bells is coming back. And that was the thing again where you like ask them, they say no. Then you go, okay, well, I'll ask you again 3 months later. They say no. And then you ask them again and they go no. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, fine, I'm done. And then they call you up and go, hey, we want to come. And I was like, yay. And Hell's Bells is an all-female AC/DC cover band. And they rocked 2 o'clock last time. This time they're in the evening at 8 o'clock on Saturday. And watching them interact with not only the crowd, but the young girls, oh my God, it is like women empowerment 101. There was a father calling his wife going, bring those girls down now. And then it's going to end with Little Creatures, who's a band with John Whalen and Andy James. They're a Talking Heads tribute band. They're going to add another extra half an hour, 15 minutes with Blondie, because they have, they could do some of Blondie too. They have a female female lead singer, Alex Dressel. And so that's on Saturday. So it's pretty much fun blues mix, again, blend of both off-island and on-island. Then on Sunday, it starts with One More Mile. They are with Jason Lawler and Mike Nichols again on the harmonica. Right. So you get again another set of blues in there.
Yeah, pretty good harmonica player.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
And then after them is a band that hasn't been here before. They're called the Great American Trainwreck. And they're actually, it was actually brought to my attention by a friend who was at the fair. And they're a mix of Americana, kind of country folk, a bit of bluegrass, a bit of country, and they have a lead singer named Stephanie Ward, who's got that sweet, soft Americana kind of voice. So, and then it closes out with Troy, with his 25 years of a band start in a garage. He said start in a garage 25 years ago, Loose Change. So, you know, there's a really, I don't know when you'd leave. You just stay with us all the time.
And the first band on Sunday starts when?
They start at noon. The first band on Saturday starts right after the parade, 11:45,
okay.
And the first band on Sunday starts at noon, which is about the time that the car parade will be over.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the car show will be parked across the street at the chamber parking lot. That's where the car car show is. So.
Oh, okay. So not on the main street like it.
They haven't done that. Well, they haven't done that for a while. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
how old I am.
That's because of all the. Because of all the vendors.
It's a perfect location.
Yeah.
It really
oh,
is.
Perfect.
Across
perfect.
From Over Park.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And this year it's starting at IGA.
Correct.
Not at BCA.
Yes.
So.
They're going to go around the block. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Come right by you guys.
Well, sometimes it's hard on the cars that overheat.
That's why. We were trying to do a few things. They also get really spread out. So they're going to come around, do a block, and then they'll actually go up and around the back so that so they can get there to their car show. But have a be sure to come by, you guys.
Do we know who's going to MC this year?
They said that it might be Kate again and the captain.
So Captain Joe,
yes.
Are you going to MC the car parade again this year?
Pardon?
Are you going to MC the car parade this year?
I'm certainly planning to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you
okay,
go.
Yeah. So
now
Captain
you know.
Joe said he's.
Yeah.
That's what our general
good.
Manager said. Yeah. Okay. So, Kevin, you had a question or two.
Well, yeah, I do, but I did leave my note.
Oh, we keep losing him.
Yeah, you keep blipping out on us, Kevin.
Oh, I do?
If you lost your notes, we can cover you because you are kind of checking out on us there.
He just did.
No, wait a minute. He did that just
well, but I also just wanted to acknowledge the solar panels on your roof. You're probably going to make Vashon now equivalent to Nevada in terms of solar on the island.
He's talking about VCAs. Oh. Yeah, we have.
VCA solar panels. Yeah, yep. That's awesome.
We do.
But my question has to do, what about the Strawberry Festival next year? What can you tell us?
I can't tell you anything, actually, and that's the honest truth. I'm not on the board. I'm not making those decisions with the chamber. The chamber is looking to go in a different direction and not be an event producer. It's a beloved community. I'm not sure who's going to oversee it. I've heard some grumblings of different people who, not grumblings, bad. That sounds bad. Rumblings? What am I supposed to say? Rumblings?
Yeah.
It's an extremely heavy lift, and so not sure, and I'll have my ears open. I do want to put last plug, if I could, just about, and yeah. I think it was something that Amy might have asked about, too, is about we do have an unofficial mayor contest. We have 8 candidates, so be sure to look on our website for those candidates, because the organizations that are going to benefit is VYFS, Vashon Household, Vashon Explorers Preschool, The Dove Project, Friends of Mukai, Vashon Senior Center, Inclusive Island, and Vashon Nature Center, Singer the Whale is running. So those are some really, it's a great slate of a beautiful nonprofit, wonderful nonprofits that we can support.
Do you need any volunteers?
Always.
And if somebody wants to volunteer, how do they do that?
If they want to volunteer, you'll see even outside some posters that you can scan to get a hold of the information. We have a fabulous volunteer coordinator, Jessica Picoria, and we need volunteers for the beverage garden and for the parade in particular, and even some backstage if you want to be around the bands. You can also email anything, any way, anybody, for whatever reason, to events@VashonChamber. And that comes directly to me. So events@VashonChamber.com. If you want to see anything about the Strawberry Festival, just go to thisisvashon.com and you'll see the Strawberry Festival on the navigation bar.
Great. That's wonderful. All right. I think that is about, we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen so quickly?
I don't know, because it was so fun.
I want to really, tell you how much we appreciate you coming by and all the work you do to put the festival
Absolutely.
Together. I know it's a tremendous amount of work, and last year's festival was a wonderful festival, and we're expecting even greater things this year.
We just, rinse and repeat. We want the same thing. It was fabulous. We want fabulous again. That's what we want. Yeah. I think it's going to be great. Like I said, I really noticed this by the emails that we've been getting ahead of time about really people planning more and more, that they're like, oh, we want to do this. And we're like, yeah, that sounds great. Are they, people have called me about kids again and like, we want kids booth. And I'm like, call the pharmacy because the pharmacy is going to offer space. So there's just a lot of really community collaboration that's happening. That's really going to be great.
I did want to mention that the Voice of Vashon is going to be more involved this year. If that's possible, if you can't make it to the parade, you can listen to it on the radio, and then you can watch it on our television station subsequently.
That'll be great.
Yeah. So that's and our new van will be our new mobile broadcasting van will be making the rounds. It'll be in the parade as well.
Did you sign up?
yeah. I think so. I hope so. And we'll be. We'll be doing some stuff here in the studio, too, because we got some new branding we're looking at. And we want to know what people's opinions are going to be. Hey, next week we got the Truman Show.
No, I'm going to be hosting next week, but I have a tentative schedule of Esther Lucero from Seattle Indian Health Board. from the talking about the Thunderbird.
Fabulous.
It's going to be opening fairly soon. But that's tentative. I don't have a confirmation yet.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, with that, for Bruce, Amy, Truman, Kevin, Lynn-Ann, I'm Craig, and we thank you for listening. Please tune in next Tuesday for the Brown Briefly Show.